famous astrologer, the confidant of the late Princess of Wales.
Even the star signs, each one is connected with a particular place in the body.
I always say that 50% of healing a disease is understanding what it's there to teach you.
Isn't it ironic that we're in this society at the moment with social media and seeing people passing across our screens all the time, but people are not really seen for who they are? And this is what my kind of astrology does. It's looking very deeply so that you literally look right into someone's soul.
I've learned, I think one of the best lessons I've learned from my own chart and as a healer to others is... Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And today on the sofa, we have a very dear friend of mine, Debbie Frank, famous astrologer. She is extremely well known, probably one of the most well known astrologers in the UK. That's something that other people get to say about you. Debbie's like, oh, what do I say? Very famous for being the confidant of the late Princess of Wales, who you were working with right up until her passing, which is what many people know you for. And we were introduced by a wonderful mutual friend and friend of the show, Victoria Woodall. And we started life by actually doing a chart swap.
We did.
So Debbie did my chart, I did hers. And it was really amazing to kind of meet in such an interesting way. And since that day, we've had some really interesting phone conversations and meetups with each other. And after the last mega conversation when I was driving down to Somerset, I said, Debbie, you've just got to come on the sofa and we're just going to talk on the sofa.
Yeah.
So really, today's episode is really about kind of high healing, because I think what I really want to talk to you and the community about is, you know, why is astrology so useful? Like, how can this be a healing tool? And why are we all so fascinated with it? So let's just start with your story. How did you get into it yourself?
Well, I think I was always into it from about the age of five, as soon as I could read. Mm. And I could, I was sent something on sun signs, and it fascinated, it kind of spoke to me right from the beginning. I just sort of realised that I was very connected to the idea of astrology. But I didn't realise I was going to be an astrologer. It felt like something so sort of far-fetched to think of. It wasn't the most popular thing in the universe in those days.
No. You had Russell Grant.
Yes, well, he wasn't even around then, no.
Or Mystic Meg with the...
Mystic Meg wasn't around, and that's saying something. But I did learn astronomy at school, because we had that on our curriculum, which was kind of a strange thing, but fascinating. So I did draw out the constellations, and I started to be grounded in that aspect of it. And then I did come across this wonderful training course on astrology when I was in my mid-20s, and I just... kind of discovered this was my passion. Mm. So I was in PR at the time, but I just wanted to learn more and more and more. And that's what really draws me to astrology, is that you can never say, well, I know everything. What I love about it, is that I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly looking into different sides of it. And I have done a lot of the sort of medicinal side of astrology, because it is so brilliant for diagnostics. When we talk about healing, you know, we can really see what is the causation of, you know, somebody's illness, and what is it that they haven't been able to express emotionally that's actually now showing up in physical form, for instance. And back in the day, in sort of Thomas Culpepper's time, when herbal medicine was very big, all doctors then would cast a chart for the onset of the disease. Like, they would ask their patient, you know, well, when did you first start feeling like this? And then that chart, called the decumbiture chart, would give you the journey and the progression of that disease. So I think that's really quite interesting. Mm. And it's, I think astrology in many levels, no matter why you're looking into somebody's chart, tells you the reason why someone is feeling as they do, whether this is some emotional crisis, whether it's something in their career, whether it's something financial, because the planets speak to all aspects of our lives. It's like, you know, the inner mirror.
I always say that 50% of healing a disease is understanding what it's there to teach you. So the question why is of paramount importance.
Yes, why am I feeling this? What is this experience designed to help me learn about myself and what's blocked in my life?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why working with astrologers is actually such a fantastic part of healing. If you're suffering from an illness that, let's say you've looked at my fact sheets, for example, and you've gone, right, okay, I've got, I don't know, psoriasis. And you've gone through the fact sheet and you've done every single piece of Yang Sheng advice and you still haven't resolved the problem, then it's what I call the healing pivot lies deeper than just the superficial. Mm. It's not just about clearing heat and resolving heart energy. There's something deeper to understand. And that's when you come to knock on our doors and we can look at it and go, okay, well, psoriasis is a condition largely of the heart, a little bit of the liver. We understand that the liver is about anger and frustration. We understand that the heart is about love and connection. And immediately we're like, okay, there's a disconnect going on here. And the minute you've understood it, I often find that half the time it goes away entirely, or that's the beginning of it resolving itself because you've learned the lesson.
Very
right?
Interesting. Yes, well, even the star signs, the Western star signs, each one is connected with a particular place in the body. So Aries is the head, Libra, which you are, is the kidneys. And so, you know, it's extraordinary to me how often just from the sun sign, we can see that vulnerability in our system, our predisposition. But, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm looking with, this is my Western...
Sorry.
Astrology chart.
This is my chart, by the way.
Yes, that's Katie's chart.
Bit of intel here.
Yes. And what I look at is this ephemeris, which tells me where the planets are on any given day of the century. And so I'm looking at the cycles of how all the planets are moving. So I'm seeing, okay, what's coming up? What's coming up for Katie? What's going on here? And... you know, there are some, you know, so many multi-layers to looking at this, because we might be looking at the physical layer and say, well, Katie's got Pluto square her moon at the moment, so, you know, this is a massive move, which in fact we know that you've done in the physical body. It's this particular time of life. Then emotionally, it's about purging, transforming and shedding anything that's got stuck or belongs to kind of like the old life and the old paradigm of you as Katie. So there's a massive... transformation that's going on so many levels, but each part of it reveals something more about what needs to happen and where you need to go forward. Isn't it ironic that we're in this society at the moment with social media, and you know, we're allegedly seeing people passing across our screens all the time, but people are not really seeing for who they are. And this is what my kind of astrology does. It's looking very deeply so that you literally look right into someone's soul. They say the eyes are the window of the soul, but the chart is truly the mirror of the soul and the psyche.
And it really is. And it will literally, I always say to my patients as well when we look at charts, I said, it will tell you everything you need to know. It is literally, so from a Western perspective, this is the blueprint of the soul.
Yes.
This is really complicated versus what the way mine is. Mine is literally the five elements. And some very scribbly writing.
It's an incredibly symbolic language, isn't it, really? So a tiny detail can literally have all this nuance. It's multi-dimensional.
A bit like religion, isn't it, almost? It, sort of all roads lead to the truth.
No, they do.
They do, and we come at it...
It's fascinating. I love the overlap. I mean, we have elements, obviously, in Western astrology, but we don't have wood or metal. You know, we have the four elements, fire, earth, air, water.
Yes.
And these are the energetic blocks, building blocks, not stuck blocks, building blocks of our whole lives. And it's very interesting, you know, when we lack an element... I mean, I lack air and I have seven planets in water. There's only 10 to go round. So you can see I'm literally flooded with water. Water is all about resonance with people's feelings. It's, you know, having
wisdom.
A feeling response. Yeah. And air is up in the head. And yet there I am, author of seven books. I'm a constant communicator and I'm compensating, trying to understand and communicate what's going on for me inside about how I feel. But immediately I understand things through how I feel about them rather than what I think about them.
And I think that's so interesting because we're both teachers. So, I mean, I have my clinic and I have to be very careful about how I manage my clinic, because if I have too many clinic hours, I then forego the kind of the public teaching aspect of what I do. So it's a sort of teacher healer is where I've ended up. So it's a very difficult introduction to myself when people say, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, here we go. It's like, even after all these years, I still can't describe myself very well because I'm a Chinese doctor.
No, we can't describe ourselves.
No, we can't.
Only other people can describe, really, what we do for them.
Yes. Well, we're healers at the end of the day.
Yes.
And we heal with our knowledge and we heal with what it is that we understand, with the truth. Because the truth actually has a resonance to it. And when you show people the truth of themselves, that's often where I find the really in-depth healing comes in, because you understand the meaning why. And I think I like to use the Dolores Cannon narrative. I pick this up from her. She calls it Earth School, which I always think is such
great.
A brilliant way of describing it. And you know, we are. And I think that sort of the late 20th century narrative that we were all brought up with, which is you can kind of buy yourself out of adversity. And if you were rich and beautiful and famous and everything was great, well, we kind of all sort of subscribed to that because we didn't know any different. Suddenly into the 21st century we go, and the reality is that's not true. And we all know that.
We're here to evolve. And we're here on a soul mission, really. We signed up for this.
Yeah.
So we're here to learn things.
Yes.
We're here to grow, aren't we, and develop.
Yes. So do you find with, because with my patients, I try and be a bit of a one-stop shop. So I try to be like a Mary Poppins kind of concept, which is you come and see me for my appointments. If I can do them properly, they're 2 hours, which is, I mean, I will do a sort of a quick one for an hour, but two is genuinely what you need to do it really thoroughly. But I say to people, mostly after that, you actually don't really need to see me again because you can just re-listen to the chart reading and
exactly.
the answer's there.
Yes.
But do you have other people like me that phone you every 10 seconds and go, what's going on now?
No, well, I do because obviously the planets keep moving. So they want to know what's going on now, what's happening in the next cycle. So obviously quite a lot of people come after the initial session. They will come back every year, or some of them I'm on speed dial and, you know, I am their go-to person for all sorts of things. They want to launch a business or a podcast, or they want to do something, or is this guy the right person for me, or what's going wrong here? So I do really enjoy working ongoing with a small number of people, and I see a lot of people literally, thank goodness for Zoom, all over the world now. So literally I can be talking to somebody in Australia in the morning and somebody in California in the evening. So it's great that you've got that spread to it. And really, I find that, you know, it's for somebody to just have a reset. That's what they say to me quite frequently. I feel as if I've had a reset to come back to you, and that the actual session in itself is healing. So they do describe it as that. I am a healer. I feel healed when I speak to you.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great compliment.
It is.
It's lovely.
And it's absolutely true. And I think, so just going back into the history as to why this is so relevant, because I found this absolutely fascinating, was that from an Eastern perspective, charts, having a sort of court astrologer or cosmologist was very much part of the kind of the Privy Council. So they would be advising the emperor on everything to manage peace, everything to manage the country, everything to sort of manage what they were having to do. And it was that everything was done looking at the chart at the same time. So you would look at the emperor's chart in relationship, because obviously the emperor was everything, and it was the emperor's chart imposed upon what was going on in the kind of the bigger playing field. And the fact that it is now available to all of us is incredibly powerful. And one of the interesting things about the Cultural Revolution is it was banned. And it was banned because they didn't want people to be that powerful, to have that level of insight. You were basically at that point going to be doing what you were told to be done. So you didn't have the intel to understand what your own soul's calling was, because you were sort of being formed into what it was that the state wanted.
Yes, well, I mean, funnily enough, I've just come back from Florence and I went to the Galileo Museum.
Oh, wow.
And I hadn't realised that when Galileo actually said that he agreed that, in fact, it's not a geocentric universe, in fact, the planets revolve around the sun. Do you know, he was under house arrest for the rest of his life because the Catholic Church felt that that was taking away their power. So that's a truth that was squashed. A remarkable man. It's a beautiful museum. If you're ever in Florence, I highly recommend you go to look. They've got all of the ancient armillaries and astrolabes, and it's absolutely fascinating. His original telescopes. And it just really is a reminder of, you know, what an extraordinarily important place in cultural life astronomy and astrology all working together. And then, of course, there's all the scientific instruments as well for diagnostics. It's really a fabulous place.
Well, what's quite interesting as well is, because I do quite a lot of trips to Italy, because I'm rather interested in a few moments of history. And when one goes to the Vatican, you will see, if you look carefully, they're not shown, because there's so much to see that they'll just focus your attention on the art, because that's what they want people to look at. But all over the place are the astrological charts of the popes, which are all covered in drapes.
How interesting.
Because they don't want people to see the fact that they were astrologically done. And if you go indeed to Florence, to the Basilica San Lorenzo, which is where the Medici are all buried,
yes,
that they've got the astrological charts of the parents of Cosimo de' Medici. So in the side chapel.
Incredible.
It's all still up there. It's all so fascinating. And also what was really interesting was in that period of history was that there were ambassadors coming over from China to Italy at that time, and that a lot of the equipment that was suddenly making its way via Florence was coming in from the Chinese.
I'm sure, yes, kind of original silk route.
Yes, I know, I love it, I absolutely love it. So let's just go back to, so what was the story in terms of Western astrology? So who was using it sort of back in the day?
Well, we're talking really about Egypt and ancient China. I mean, Egypt needed to know when the Nile was going to flood, basically. Right. So they started to keep records of the lunar cycles because they needed to know when the new moons and the full moons were here, when the Nile was going to flood, so they would know when was the best time to plant crops. And that's like really amazing knowledge because in a way, symbolically, we still use this idea of the lunar astrology for symbolically planting crops, in other words, setting our intentions in terms of manifesting. Mm. But in those days, it was very physical. And then, obviously, astrology progressed and it spread with other knowledge across cultures. In Renaissance astrology, for instance, with Uomo Universale, pardon my terrible Italian accent, but anybody with any academic learning would be highly skilled as an astrologer. And indeed, Shakespeare referenced astrology many, many times in his plays. All of the doctors would also know about astrology, the great artists, architects. I mean, everything was all part of a body of knowledge. It was all together. And that was a time when there wasn't a separation between the science side and the artistic, mystical interpretation. Then, of course, things changed and science consigned, in fact, with the idea of heliocentric astrology and, you know, and the fact that, yes, the planets were going to be revolving around the sun, they had to, science kind of took precedence from that point onwards. And astrology was sort of consigned to something that was much more mystical. And, you know, then it's only recently, in fact, that with the advent of quantum science, where we're looking at frequencies, that's almost a very, very positive explanation for how the planets are affecting us. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, we don't really understand how gravity works in its detail, but we believe in it, don't we? But a lot of stumbling blocks, as far as science is concerned, is about this proof, and we can't explain how it works, therefore it can't be true. Mm. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I don't really understand how an aeroplane works, but I believe I can climb into one and it's going to take me from across thousands of miles. But for a lot of people, science has become like a tyranny, really, that tyrannical mindset, but it can't exist because we can't prove it. But actually what it really means is just that we can't understand it yet.
Yet.
And we're now at this very exciting cutting edge where quantum is saying, yes, everything is in frequency and resonance. So you can separate things. You can, you know, there have been now some scientific experiments, you know, taking samples of people's blood, putting it, you know, sort of 100 miles away. And if you then do something to the person's blood, the person will respond even though they're 100 miles away. So we know that things stay resonant with each other. So now we're looking at this idea of the planets and the pulsing of the planets and the energies and the frequencies. I think we're kind of on the verge of being able to accept it, and it's coming back together again.
Yeah. So that actually, that brings us really nicely onto your book, because so you've written many books, but Debbie's latest book is this one, which is the Manifest Astrology book, Manifest with Astrology. And that's a really interesting kind of angle to, obviously you've got Roxy Nafusi, who's kind of, you know, she wrote a massive book on Manifest about, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, she's my client, so she's done the foreword to this book. Yes.
So then what's super interesting is that you've been using astrology as a vehicle to manifest, and you were just talking then about sort of seeding and things like that, and using seed. So can we talk a bit more about how because manifestation, I think the first thing that we've been talking about so far in this episode is how healing astrology is, and it's what I would refer to as high healing. So it's not necessarily like moving like a pain in the body or arthritis or something like that, which is more lower level healing. If you think of it like a pyramid of health, that you've got the physical, emotional and spiritual body like a pyramid. So the physical is the kind of stuff where we're using gua sha or tapping or poultices and those sorts of things. Emotional is more where we're starting to understand what's going on and heal with healing sounds or healing with sympathy or healing with vibrational frequencies. High healing is really what we're talking about here, which is kind of deep understanding and deep sentience and very, very high vibrational frequencies to actually reach the healing pivot to kind of unravel it and understand it and then ultimately learn life lessons and evolve as a human being. That's where I put high healing. Mm. Now, I would put manifestation in that category.
Yes.
So what brought you into this and how is it helpful for people?
Well, I've been interested in this idea of the connection between manifestation and astrology for quite a long time, and also because Rox has been my client for the last 8 years, I've been helping her with this idea as well, and she's been helping me. And I really feel that ultimately, when you sort of take away all of the stuff that we want when we're looking, what do we want to manifest today, and look at the chart, which is actually a map of you manifesting yourself. And that is really, really important, because to be able to manifest yourself means that you are then in alignment and that the chart is your soul's alignment with this earthly and spiritual life. So it's a map that helps you to see the connection and the correlation between those two things, because it's literally as above, so below.
Which is what we say in Chinese medicine.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
And Babylonian. So really the seeding, there's a whole section about this in this book, about the moon cycles, the lunar cycles. So we all know about the Southeast Asia full moon parties and how everybody goes wild at full moon. But it is true, and doctors report, surgeons report, that there's extra bleeding at full moon. So I always advise any clients of mine who are thinking of having surgery to always avoid full moons, because there's more likely to be excess, and excess hemorrhaging is something completely undesirable, obviously. New moons is a great time for planting. As we say, it's symbolic, from planting your seeds in the Nile. Now we're wanting to plant other things. We're wanting to reach out and, write something on our social media, or we want to intend to, start a diet, or whatever it is that we're wanting to kick off. It's a great time to do it at the new moon. But on a much deeper level, manifesting who you are, that when we go back to the causation of disturbance, which is such a brilliant word, isn't it, in Chinese medicine, which covers that meaning of what something is slightly out of kilter, it's out of alignment. So if we look at our chart and can be aligned with it and to express our own lives in accordance with what our soul originally intended, then we're going to have less disturbance. So we're going to be in alignment and things are going to flow, which is really what we want. Really, in correlation with Chinese medicine, we want things to flow, don't we?
Yes, and I think that's one of the things that I think can get very misinterpreted with manifestation, because there's been a lot of people sort of, because it's like a kind of heaven sort of wish list. It's like, right, well, great.
Well, it's like Amazon Prime, though, that's the thing. And
yes.
Then people get very disappointed. I wrote it on my vision board and I don't have it.
Yes.
So I'm really addressing that. And I think,
about that, because it is really unfair.
I think it's a shame that the spiritual aspect of manifesting has been removed recently, actually.
I agree. It's like
and
a quantum wish list.
So I've put it back into my book, and I'm saying, you do need, that is the X factor. It's not just about what you want, because what you want is what your ego wants, usually. And you'll never be satisfied getting things that you want, more stuff, because the minute you get it, you want something else. And that's the trick of the ego. So it's about this alignment with, I do this work with my clients, and they'll be talking about what they want, and I'll be saying, well, have you ever thought about the idea of manifesting peace? And that's like a revelation, because if you can be peaceful, that solves everything.
Yeah,
it stops you being on this treadmill of being anxious because you want something else and you want something else. So it's about getting more in touch with these more transpersonal qualities, really, things like love, peace, kindness, and feeling fulfilled and happiness. I mean, people talk so much about mental health issues these days, and in psychological training they focus so much on depression, and they don't really talk about happiness. So people seem to be quite removed from the idea, but the chart will show you, where does your happiness lie? Where is your joy?
So where's
mine? I think if we can find that...
I mean, I've probably no prices to guess.
A lot of it is
about
finding
Chinese
your
medicine.
Power. If you don't find your power, you will have less joy, because, I don't know if you can see it, but Kate's chart is all here, and the Sun conjunct Pluto squished up in this very publicly visible domain of the chart. So she needs to be powerful in her own right and to have her voice and to be making a difference in the world. And without that, you will feel out of alignment.
So how do people who haven't had the benefit of your incredible expertise start to understand sort of where... So what you're saying here is that for me, if I want to go down a manifestation journey, which I kind of do, and I knew this really, A, because I've spoken to you, B, because I've done my own chart anyway, and C, because I knew because I could feel it, that for me, the best thing for me to be manifesting or focusing that energy on is... my teaching into this narrative of what I love more than anything, so it's my passion, and it's what I do anyway, whether it works or doesn't work. I've just, like, as I've said to the universe many times, it's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I can't not do it because it's literally what I'm here to do, so I can't step away from it because it's just all-consuming, and it's who I am. So, therefore, the manifestation would be to leaning into that energy and going...
Totally. Well, therefore... And you're, because you are a Libra, so it's all about... balance and harmony as well. It's not just all about, you know, crazy power. It's about you also offering this wisdom and this expertise that you have on how other people can find balance in their lives. And balance must be very big for you, because as a Libra, Librans hate things to be out of balance. And that's also one of the indicators of any kind of illness and disease, of when we have discomforts because we're out of balance. So we're trying to find the balance, we're trying to find the harmony in all aspects of our being, aren't we?
It's so interesting, because from a Chinese perspective, so you say Libra, I say Yin Earth, okay? So, and it's a very similar thing. Yin Earth is very, very much, is basically described in Chinese medicine as a garden. And gardens are very much about balance and harmony, because what they also are very intricate landscapes, because I'm sort of looking at the garden just behind you, and it's just this incredible array of different flowers and different plants all kind of cohabiting. And it's so beautiful, spend a lot of time on it. And and then the wildlife that it generates and all the other aspects of it. And that's the same thing as my character. It's just that the balance and harmony is really important to me. And then weirdly, despite the fact that I was, and this is another really useful thing to know, despite the fact that I knew that and I am that, I went very much off balance. And this is the thing where, again, having somebody there to work with to actually look outside of your own vignette at yourself to kind of go, hang on a minute, Katie, you're off balance, even though you're too in the weeds.
But that
to notice.
Is part of the journey, because it's not true that you've... I mean, this is why people sometimes don't believe in their sun sign. They'll be like, well, Librans are supposed to be balanced and I'm not balanced. And that's all part of it,
that's
because you're here to learn about balance.
That's why
learning
it's there.
How to get into balance. So you have to be off balance in order to learn how to. I mean, I advise you all, if you haven't already, I mean, most people do have their charts. You can Google my chart, your chart, and put in, you need your time, your date, your place of birth. I use astro.com, and that produces these beautiful charts, and then you can interpret it through here.
Wow.
And that will also give you the insight and the wisdom of things like, you know, what are your superpowers? What are your sticking points? What are these angles of the chart? It goes into a lot of depth. I've written about here about, you know, what are you putting out into the world? What are you attracting in? It gives you more insight into that balance as well. You put out at one end and automatically you attract the balance to that.
And I think that's something that actually I found, because we had a sort of blind date when we first met, because we were connected through, as I said, Victoria Woodall, and we literally did a sort of blind chart swap date.
We did,
and it was really great. but that's what I loved about the thing that sort of I noticed immediately about you. Obviously, we've now become deep friends, but it's the ability to make something very complicated very simple. And it's what I strive to do with Chinese medicine as well. I think by and large I achieve it, because it's a complicated subject matter and you can bamboozle people if you don't explain it well, but you always make it so understandable and transformative, which is really what we're here to do. We, you know, we're teachers and educators and healers, basically. That's what we're here to do. So we're here to help. And obviously, if people want to see you one-to-one, they can, like I
Absolutely.
Did. Oh, it was amazing, honestly. It's amazing. It's like, honestly, it's just fantastic. It really was. I sort of floated off out of the reading.
You're so sweet.
Well, it's true. And that's talking as a fellow, you know, as an Eastern astrologer. It's not like I'm unfamiliar
with my
own chart.
Yeah, I mean, she's not easy to impress.
Well, no, nor were you. I was terrified when I did your chart, thinking, oh my Lord above. But thank God, I phoned Victoria. I said, what did she say? What did she say? She said, oh, no, she loved you. She thought you were going off. Thank God. But no, because the thing is, I understand my own chart from a Chinese perspective, but we describe things in a different way. They're not the same. And actually, just one last thing to ask you about, because there are major differences is between, they're not the same, okay? They get to the truth, okay? But it, as I said, it's a bit like religion. All religion ultimately is seeking to kind of, you know, educate us to a higher way of behaviour. There's difference of opinions as to how to get there. But it's the same with what we're talking about. So often I see, you know, talking about lions, portals, and that's not really something we have in Chinese medicine per se. No. We have eclipses and we have new moons and full moons.
Yeah,
and lots
so eclipses
of stuff
are
like
very powerful. They're coming up. They're all coming up in August. And at the moment, we're filming this in July. We've got Barbot's Basket, which is a French astrologer who called the pandemic, and he's sadly passed away now, but he said that this incredible alignment that we have, where a lot of these very slow-moving planets have parked up at 4 degrees. So if you have anything at 4 degrees, here's a case in point, Casey's moon at 4 degrees Taurus, then you're really in the middle of this very auspicious energy where there's a lot of powerful shifts and movements going on in the month of July. And, you know, that's going to be continued, really, with the eclipse sequence and the Lionsgate portal in the month of August. So it's a big summer.
And also, I think one probably last thing to sort of say here is that a lot of the kind of manifestation narrative that goes on out there is, you know, sort of fluffy, lovely, you know, healing, spirituality, great, great, great. A really deep healing is often incredibly hard work. You know, try asking a butterfly, you know, or a caterpillar, you know, what that felt like. You know, that transformative process is intense. And sometimes it's a bit of a roller coaster and you kind of slightly have to hang on to your hat and just roll with it and take a deep breath and go, OK, I don't always necessarily understand every single thing that's going on. We can't always just ring you up all the time, although I do.
But I help. I want to give people tools. Yeah. And that's why I do teach them meditations, visualizations. And I teach them how to deal with these specific cycles they might find themselves in. Because, you know, we go through a lot of process work with these great big, long-lasting, I mean, the one that you're in at the moment, you know, it's an 18-month journey.
And I'm right in the middle
of it. And, you know,
yeah,
you're going to feel a bit up and down during that. But it's just like always having little tools and knowing that it's not just meaningless. I think that's the thing. It's not just some random thing. I think the astrology is saying, yes, as above, so below. This is exactly where I'm meant to be. Mm. And that in itself is healing, just knowing that.
Yes. And I think the other thing that I've learned from my own, because one curious thing in my chart, and it's in the Eastern chart, and you pointed out in the Western chart, was I have these sort of big dramatic things seem to happen a lot to me. Mm. And they really do. And even my friends notice it, going, God, this stuff just doesn't happen to me. Like, what do I do for like, this stuff?
Exactly, that's because your sun is conjunct Pluto. So even though you're Libra, again, and you know, you might be thinking, well, I'm a Libra, I'm supposed to just be on the surface,
breezy.
Everything beautiful and all perfectly matched. And what is all this about?
Well,
that is because of the Pluto, which is dramatic. You know, you've got that energy and it's more powerful. You're on a much more powerful frequency.
Yes, and it doesn't half come along an upturn on quite a stratospheric level. So just when I'm in a bit of a Libran state of like, la-da-da, this is nice, this is great, there's like, no. And it's just like, no, we're going to take that away. Or that thing that you've been really comfortable with and been creating, by the way, for ages. We'll just whip that to one side. We're going to do this instead.
Yeah.
I've learned, I think one of the best lessons I've learned from my own chart and as a healer to others is always be grateful, no matter what.
Yes, for everything.
For everything, good, the bad. And it's interesting, just before you came in today to the sofa, was it was a celestial pardon day a couple of days ago in Chinese medicine. I love celestial
pardon.
What
a great idea.
Oh, it's just great. No offence to any other religious belief systems, but basically the Jade Emperor, basically you get a really good access day. It was 2 days before today where you get to the Jade Emperor quickly and you basically beg forgiveness and you clear the karma. And basically in you go to, I just love it. And literally, so I got my journal out and I was writing everything down. So I'm really sorry. But the thing that I do, never mind whether it's a celestial pardon day or otherwise, is that there's a bit of a communication over on my shrine area on the east side of the house to the Jade Emperor, which is basically, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think possibly the thing to leave you with is that no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what, everything that you're going through in life, everything is a learning process. And so therefore, the minute you've learned whatever the lesson is, good, hard or otherwise, is part of your spiritual evolution.
Exactly.
And that is spoken from a woman who's had some really hard lessons like hurled at her, not just once at a time, like They tend to come
it all comes at once,
yeah. like absolute deluges yeah. of it. And, yeah. and often for several years as well, I had that.
Yes.
It was just like wave after wave after wave. This isn't humanly possible, and yet it is. So I'm always grateful, no matter what, famous last words. But I'm very grateful for you.
I'm very grateful for you, and I'm very grateful to be here.
Yes, and to talk to you guys, because
yes,
honestly,
lovely.
This James actually gave us some lovely statistics. We're on a really amazing subscription data now, aren't we, James? What are we on now? Is it how many thousands of subscribers?
Not far off 20,000.
I mean, that is just incredible.
Fabulous.
So I just want to say thank you so much, because there's a lot of people out there making podcasts, and there's a lot of people in the health space, and there's, you know, wellness was never supposed to be this complicated, and that's one of the reasons I set this podcast up, was to bring in brilliant genius experts such as yourself, who are really highly acclaimed. You really know what you're talking about. You're not a Me Too. You are the OG, and it's really great to have a platform to do it. So James, very grateful to you, very grateful to the audience, and very grateful for all the clever people who created all this technology that I will never understand. Like, you were talking about aeroplanes, I was like, try my mobile phone, which I still. My kids laugh at me when I'm like this. Oh, can't work this stupid
that's
thing.
That's what we have children for.
Exactly. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you,
and
Katie.
Guys, I haven't actually read this because Debbie's just bought it for me today, but I am going to be reading this later on today. And thank you for this great book.
Oh, thank you, Katie. It's been an absolute joy to be here.
Always.
Thank you.